1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Indeed, it is. Sunday night, Dreamland underway. East of the Rockies, east of the Rockies only. It's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. Facts from Sam T. I want to comment on this from the doctor. Hi, Art. I had an interesting dream that the doctor may be able to help explain. For many years, I've suffered from migraine headaches. A few months ago, I had a headache that lasted for 2 or 3 days. The pain from this headache was in a small area just above my left eye. My dream was of a shaman. He passed his hands over my face until he found the area that my pain came from. He then pointed to the area, drew his hand back, and thrust his forefinger toward the pain. The fingers stopped short of my face, but a great force of energy hit the area of my pain. He repeated it 5 or 6 times. When I awoke, my pain was gone, and I've not had a headache in the area since. The dream was very vivid, and I felt the pain when the energy force hit me. Can the doctor give any insight? That's Ray from Santee. Doctor?
I love that fact. That's great. It just shows the power of the energy that the mind can create. This is what I talked about. If you don't think about earthquakes and negative things, then you don't really make that happen. But if you do start worrying about it, you can create it. What he did was in the dream levels, which is where almost all of the therapy that I train a patient to do occurs, there you have your subconscious mind accessing your higher self, or what we call the superconscious mind. There are no defense mechanisms around to annoy it and to waste time and to cause interferences. He can access his masters and guides along with his higher self. That shaman image could have been either a master or a guide or his own higher self, projecting beautiful, perfect, positive energy, a white light kind of energy, yes, not a dark light, at him, and literally raise up his physiology, if you will, by causing a constriction of the blood vessels, which is needed to make the headache literally go away. This is beautiful. In fact, I have a headache tape that my corporation markets, which helps people use these simple techniques to help project that positive energy. And he did it naturally by himself, and I think that is great. That is absolutely perfect. And what he just did was show the principle of empowerment. It's a great fact. I'm glad he got the results. And what he did just there, anyone can do.
Wow. All right. Before we get back to the lines, which we're going to do, I don't want to leave the light people. I want to understand the light people one more time, please.
Okay. Now, the light people, remember, evolutionary-wise, the ultimate evolution of our species or of our being is really pure energy. The physical body is gorky on its best day. So, they say in a couple of hundred years we won't have fingers and toes because of the clothes that we wear and things like that. Well, the light people represent, going back literally a couple of million years ago in regressions that I've done, I've had these light people come up over various periods of time from places like Alpha Centauri and other systems, other galaxies. And what these people were, they were pure energy beings, extraterrestrials, if you will, who had no physical body. They came to the Earth and have been coming many, many times, apparently. And what they did was they decided to play and say, you know, it would be kind of nice to occupy that nice physical body of a human being just to see what it's like. To feel the emotions, to almost like just like anything else, and that is apparently one of the theories that I put forth in Past Lives, Future Lives, my older book, because I've had a lot of clinical evidence to support that these people they came here and they took over the body, and instead of just playing with it and just experiencing it, they misused the physical body. And that originally is how the karmic cycle was created, apparently. And I've done literally hundreds and hundreds of these light people regressions over the years, since I've done over 30,000 of them. And this matter, this material, comes up over and over again. The chapter in Past Lives, Future Lives called Bob and the Light People is a perfect example of how that manifested and how this man's energy, frequency, vibrational rate was reduced when he entered the physical body, and how he had to work his way out of it in order to perfect himself, which, of course, he wasn't when he saw me. And this is an example of light people regressions occur in between 3 to 5% of the regressions. If anybody does this a lot, they're going to have these come up, And this is the one of the explanations as the extraterrestrial origin of all of us. So technically, none of us are purebred. We're all extraterrestrial in our energy and our origin.
All right. When somebody is possessed, you remember Linda Blair?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. The Exorcist. And
yeah.
Split pea soup,
that's
yes.
Right. But there are real possessions, or what seem to be real possessions.
Right.
What's happening? What is that?
Well, what that is, again, as I mentioned before, it's what it is a, let's assume that you are an entity, you die, you clinically die, and instead of reincarnating, maybe you died traumatically, physical illness or a car accident or something like that. So what you're doing is now you're a troubled spirit. You don't want to enter into that white light because, like some people have said before, you know, some people say, oh, the white light's evil. That's dangerous. Satan's behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the Saturday Night Live church lady routine here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what happens here is that so people don't enter the white light, now they hang around as a poltergeist or a troubled spirit, and then they say, you know, I don't really want to be this way. Well, there's a body over there. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's someone they knew. Maybe it just isn't. Maybe you're just in the way. And they simply kind of attach themselves. You, just like a parasite, would be hooked up into your intestinal tract. And they stay with you until they're exorcised away. Now, exorcism really doesn't work very well, interestingly enough. But superconscious mind taps that I've done with patients, like this woman I described in Northern California, who was able to literally exorcise away, if you will, or cleanse away this attachment of a man that she knew in a past life, who, by the way, murdered her and got away with it about 150 years ago. You see, and he was still trying to control her from the proverbial grave. And these possessions are simply entities trying to attach for various reasons, usually not very good ones, but they're not necessarily evil spirits, they're just simply troubled spirits. It's almost like you go to a city and you don't know where you are and you're lost, and instead of just trying to find out where you are, you kind of like prevent other people from getting to work on time.
I've got you, all right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Hello. I want to ask a question about Alpha Centauri and light people, but first I want to find out, since listening to the program Gore and Michael Scallion the other night, how can you not think about earthquakes? It's like saying, you know, don't think about a purple elephant.
It's true.
Well, you can think about it all you want to. I'm just telling you that my patients tell me. I'm not a psychic. I'm a therapist. I get information. I'm like a reporter. My patients tell me that by the end of the century, which is only 5 years away, there will be no major earthquakes in Southern California. I'm talking about Southern California because my patients, although they're international, a lot of my local patients are freaking out when they see those network shows about this or the Scallion and other kinds of predictions.
So
what I'm just saying is that my patients tell me...
Don't think about it.
My patients tell me that there is not going to be that catastrophe in the limits. Yes, there'll be earthquakes, but they won't be the major ones that make Nebraska, the west coast of the United States, that some people perceive. That is not going to happen. I'll tell you right now, I'll stake my reputation on it. And I didn't move to Los Angeles from the East Coast just because I want to be, you know, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere. So what I'm saying is that you can think of anything you want to, but if you project the positivity and ignore all these doomsayers, it's almost like predicting 7 of the last 3 recessions, you know?
Okay.
You can always say negative things, but the point is that you're only sending out the wrong kind of energy. It's not going to help you, yet it can harm you by allowing yourself to be part of a negative frequency where these things will occur.
All right, caller, you had a question about the light people?
Yes. It seems like when we, I was wondering what you thought of Shirley MacLaine's writing. It seems, I think she wrote about light people.
Yes, well, Shirley MacLaine really wrote about, you know, driving in Peru with no hands, too. But Shirley MacLaine brought a lot of people into the field, and I thank her for that. However, her writings really weren't dealing with light people so much as the classic out-of-body experience that she experienced in the Andes in South America. And basically, what she was doing was reporting things that other people have reported, so there really isn't anything new or unusual about Shirley MacLaine's experience, except that it happened to Shirley MacLaine, who's an international film star.
But you're not a skeptic about her writing.
I'm not a protagonist about her. She's not a scientist. She's entitled to her opinion. She can write anything she wants to. Basically, her books are nothing more than metaphysical diaries, basically, and she's entitled to it. I mean, she's not Kenneth Ring or Michael Sabam or Ray Moody, I can tell you that. And I don't respect some of the comments that she's made. For example, she once made a comment in a Playboy interview, which I read, which says that the crystals that were the source of energy, by the way, on Atlantis, and I'll agree with that from my regressions, are used on NASA space capsules. Let me tell you something. I work with NASA scientists. Some of them are patients of mine. There are no crystals on our space modules. None. None whatsoever. So statements like that are incorrect. They make the field, shall we say, laughable. and it does not help the credibility of the field. However, if you look at the good points about what she's done by bringing in the numbers of people into the field via, I think the sales of all metaphysical books or New Age books in those days in the early 80s, something like increased by 35% after her bestseller, Outer Limits, came out. So in that case, God bless her for that. But she's not exactly somebody I refer to when I write a scientific article.
All right, good. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hello.
Exactly.
Turn your radio off, please.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Seattle. My name's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I was wondering, in your research, do people in their past lives, do they have different genders, or even like in Hinduism, are they different species?
Well,
is there any learning reason for that?
Okay, I don't regress people to different species. Transmigration, if you're referring to the Tibetan and Hindu aspect, has never been confirmed by me. I've done over 30,000 regressions and over 10,000 patients, and I've never regressed anyone to be a head of lettuce yet. Everybody's always human. Some people are more human than others, however. But what I'm saying is that, but they do change sexes, you change races, you change socioeconomic status, you reincarnate and choose the karmic subcycle, if you will, that will help you to manifest your own spiritual growth. That is the only point of being on the earth plane and being in a reincarnated body, is spiritual growth. Everything else is secondary or tertiary. So if you have to be black or Asian or white or American Indian or South American Indian, whatever you have to be is what you'll be, and that's what you will choose the framework. However, you always have free will, and therefore you can make poor choices, which unfortunately a lot of people do, and that's why they run into the karmic problems that they do and have the proverbial karmic egg on the faces sometimes, the actions that they do.
All right, good. West of the Rockies, you're on with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Hi, this is Tim calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
And I guess we're having the worst snow in 25 years here today, so...
Wow.
But which isn't much for a lot of the part of the country, but Northwest, we don't get a lot
of snow. It keeps you listening to the radio, however.
Yes, at home, warm, and listening to the radio.
That's good.
What's your question, Tim?
I've got two things. One is, how do I find a good person in the area for regression? And the second is... sometimes I'll be asleep and I'll just wake up, like bolt upright, and just wondering what causes that.
Well, okay, let me answer the first one first. I can't make referrals. There are a couple of pages in the back of my new book, The Search for Grace, as well as Past Lives Future Lives, which give some recommendations. I can give you some more material if you contact my 1-800-KARMA-4-U or 1-800-527-6248 number. My staff will be happy to send you information, which will make your choice a little bit easier by giving you some background.
All what right, listen, hold it. You're so good at talking 100 miles an hour, you've got to slow down for phone numbers. So,
okay.
So do it.
1-800-527-6248. All right?
That's good.
Now, what that will do is that will give you a little background. I'll send you out a packet which will tell you some of the things, a little bit about the field, and what you would do is take that information, read it over, and then you quiz anybody who alleges themselves to be a past life therapist. If they don't know that material, if they don't know the basics, then you don't want to be there.
Okay.
You always want to work with somebody who knows more than you, you know, in the field. As far as waking up bolt right upright, that is most likely from a dream, which is, again, can have fantasy components, or it could actually be an actual past life death of yours that you could be reviewing, or it could be simply you returning from the out-of-body experience that all dreams are. You know, when you return from an out-of-body experience, it's almost like parachuting. And sometimes you land on your butt, you know, and sometimes you roll over and land like you're supposed to.
So sort of whoosh on back.
Right, whoosh your back, and sometimes wish I wasn't back.
Cute. East of the Rockies, you're on with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, where are you?
This is Jim in St. Louis.
Yes, Jim.
Dr. Goldberg, what can you tell us about your patients' progressions and their what do they know about the day when we will finally be confronted with, you know, these non-human intelligence that, you know, have been visiting us for so long, and where exactly our place in the universe?
Yeah,
talking about the extraterrestrial contact then.
Yeah.
Right. Well, basically, if you're looking for the extraterrestrials to hold a press conference at the UN very quickly, it's not going to happen. It's about the 24th century when the extraterrestrials make the regular contact that will make them a part of our society.
How do you know that?
Well, because that's what patients tell me. I mean, in past life future lives, I document about the next 500 years, and in the 24th century, apparently, it becomes more of what you might see on old Twilight episodes, to the degree that they become literally a part of our society. We make a lot of travels to other planets. We have exchanges, scientific exchanges. We do all kinds of things that are become more of a regular basis. But the contacts, we're still going to have many contacts, as we do now occasionally, but they're not going to be the regularity. It's still going to be the people that think of it as fringy, or the scientists or the government trying to repress the information, the usual things that, the Pentagon types do, but you're not going to have the regular contact until the 24th century.
Do you believe that our government now knows they exist?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? I mean, if the incidents in New Mexico don't scare people, or in Area 51, the government cover-ups and the Roswell incident, and I mean, this is, it almost makes me ashamed to be an American, you know, I mean, and I'm very patriotic. I work with people who retired from the government, of course. I don't work with active agents, but I work with people who've been involved in it. Let me tell you something. The government has so many things that they could tell and will not, because they're afraid of a panic, which I think right now is about non-existent.
Well, I'll give you this, Doctor. If our government was able to keep secret the fact that they fed radiation in milk to 6-year-old children, they could certainly keep the other secret.
Oh, surely. Or they could always simply, what they've done is they could simply just do what they did. I'll tell you one thing, the government was very bright. I mean, I'm not very ethical, but very bright. What they did was they fed the news releases to the media and encouraged Hollywood with the 50s movies,
right.
You know, the old Space Brothers routine, because they figured the more they make fun of it via Hollywood, the more money's made off of it, the less people are going to take it seriously. And in fact, they were correct. Now, of course, they lost, because now there's so much evidence cropping up, and Linda Howe's reports and others, and the idea of things surfacing in people's experiences. When you have ex-presidents who talk about their UFO experiences, you know, what do you do now? You know, did you say it was all swamp gas in Atlanta? I mean, you know, you can't keep the old scams going anymore. So now people are getting a lot more sophisticated, and there are simply too many cases and too much evidence piling up. But again, apparently our society isn't ready for it.
You sound a lot more sure these days to me of this sort of thing than you were when I first began interviewing you long ago, Doctor. Is that true?
Well, I mean, it's only been a couple of years, a year and a half or so, but I'm just starting to see as far as, I mean, I don't have any doubt. I've never doubted the extraterrestrial contact, if you will, because of my work going back over 20 years, and I have cases of extraterrestrial contact going back about 17 or 18 years ago. What I have been more acquainted with some of my more recent patients have been simply the extent of the government cover-up.
All right, we got to hold it right there. Hold it right there. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest. This is CBC.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
We continue now with your calls to Dreamland with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
We do. I'm Art Bell. I want to remind everybody trying to get hold of the scallion tape. It's been irreversibly busy at the phone number that we've been giving you. I will continue to give you this number. If you cannot get through tonight, by all means, during business hours tomorrow, we're going to staff the phones with people, and you should be able to get through. So begin trying during business hours tomorrow at 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. At that number, you can also get copies of this program and any guest interview we've done on Coast. We'll get to yet another very interesting facts in just a moment. All right, about 3 years ago, my mother died. Shortly after I had an awake experience, that's awake, I dreamt that she was sitting on a bed at my father's house. All my family members walked past her, but I stopped. I could even smell like fresh flowers. I could smell her like fresh flowers. I had such a calm feeling over me. All she did was project into me that she was okay, and that my future was going to be fine and not to worry. She really impressed me with the fact that everything was going to be fine. I have since then sensed her presence near or about me on several occasions. Doctor?
What you're getting is your mother, your late mother, was trying to tell you that she is okay on the other side, and she was trying to see people when they cross into spirit. They tend to make contacts with people they felt the closest to, and or let's just say a very strong bond. And what she was just trying to show you is that there is life after death. It's nothing to fear. And she was also trying to give you a little precognitive data about your future, as well as to have you say, really, basically, is like, please don't worry about me. Don't bereave of me. Go on with your life, and you have a bright life in front of you.
What do your colleagues, a lot of them, think about your view on all of this?
Well, you know, my colleagues, interesting enough, a lot of my patient referrals come from my colleagues. So I have psychiatrists, psychologists, MFCC social workers who refer to me. The ones that may not agree with me or don't have my experience and deal with more conventional methods, if you will, they know me well enough to know that they may not agree with me, but they don't doubt my psychological stability or my approach towards it. They just may not agree with me, just like they have a First Amendment right and a right to have a different opinion.
There is, however, a lot more building respect for people now in your field than there used to be, isn't there?
Oh, sure. Well, you have, like, you know, you have people like Ray Moody and John Mack, who are physicians.
Oh, yes.
You have myself. You have Kenneth Ring, a psychologist at the University of Connecticut. You have people, the Elizabeth Kubler-Rosses, and you have many people with real degrees and a lot to lose. See, we have a lot to lose if we're doing something strange. With all due respect to people like the Shirley MacLaines or other actresses who write books, they don't really have a tremendous amount to lose when it comes to licenses and the practices and things like that, whereas we as professionals do. More importantly, what's really important on my level here, I feel, is not just my own credibility and my colleagues, which is very high, thank goodness. But more importantly, the scientific backup of what we're dealing with is very important. In the field of psychotherapy, you know, I was at a psychology meeting, and one of my colleagues, who was very conventional, very, very conservative, and very anti what I do, he says, you know, he says, I don't really like what you do, and I don't believe it. And I said, well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but, you know, you must understand that out of all the 250-plus divisions of the American Psychological Association, the only division that's backed by a hard science is this field. Quantum physics, as hard as it is for people to understand, is a hard science, and that's what demonstrates the space-time continuum, the parallel universes, and all aspects of going back and forward in time.
Yes, but Doctor, there was a day not very long ago when somebody like you would have been professionally burned at the stake.
Oh, sure. Sure, that would have been about 30 or 40 years ago.
That's
sure.
Right. Not that long ago, really.
Not that long ago. Well, but basically, you're right. That's why cases like the Bridey Murphy case when it came out in 56 with Maury Bernstein, because he was a businessman, but there were people who were around that who were doing that, medical people who were trying to, like, being right into the corner when that case came out because they didn't want to be associated with it. But now, of course, things have changed. There is a field, just to show you the scientific credentials here, not only does the American Psychological Association have Code 270, which is parapsychology, but the most respected organization in the world for science has got to be the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And guess what? December 1969, over 25 years ago, they inducted into their brethren the field of parapsychology. It's been there. It's not been removed. It's respected. Duke University goes back to the early 1920s with its research. It is a hard science, mathematically based. In fact, it's more solid. Most of psychology, if you will, or therapy, is really in the same category as astrology as far as being a pseudoscience.
All right. We've got a lot of calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
San Diego.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Wes.
Excuse me?
How you doing, Wes? Is your name Wes?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, good. Okay. Well, what's your question?
In your words, how would you define God?
Well, God is really the energy level that is really perfect, and we are striving to do that. We have a remnant of the God's energy. I describe God as an energy force, not as a man with a beard and a white cane. But the energy force that we have that represents our higher self or superconscious mind is actually a remnant of the God energy that we came from and will eventually go back to. So you see, this is really very compatible with just about every religious system I've ever studied. The only difference is the names and mechanism have changed to protect the innocent. But basically, God is nothing but the perfect energy that you will eventually reunite with, and actually have nightly reunitings with them, because when you go into your dream level, you do access your higher self, whether you know it or not.
But why do we live them to begin with?
Why do we need it, you mean?
Now, why did we leave him to begin with?
Well, you know, I mean, the reason is very simply I described before about the extraterrestrial concept, about the idea of these light people playing around with human bodies. Unfortunately, human nature, being what it is, has a tendency to kind of like do things that not, it's not supposed to do. And if you look around with the pollution of the environment and all kinds of medical things and using drugs, abusing drugs, we simply have a tendency to kind of like go astray.
All right, put another way, a short way, free will.
Free will is, or the defense mechanisms, as we say therapeutically, is the reason why we are in the, as they used to say in Laurel and Hardy, what another fine mess you've gotten me into.
There you go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hi, turn your radio off.
Okay.
Where are you calling from?
Granite City, Illinois.
Excellent.
I have a question. I've had this same dream, I guess, for about 8 years. I have it once a year. Mm-hmm. And it's this house that I go into, and it's got like three levels. Well, I guess probably for about 5 years, the house is always real dark. There's no electricity. And then there's this passageway that... you could crawl through, but I've always been too afraid to crawl through it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the last, I guess about 3 years ago, I did crawl through it. Well, there's always someone with me.
Yeah.
Well, this, I had it, I guess, about 2 months ago, and the dream was totally changed to where the house, it had electricity on, and it was being remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, like the house was all... cleaned and everything was new. Well, I had like this girl was with me taking me through the house, and the passageway was opened and it became a hallway.
All right, so now things have changed. Now, did your life change? Was there some major issue that you were dealing with in your life that coincided with this dream opening up now?
I'm more spiritual.
Well, that could be part of it, because you see, when you have a repeated dream, even if it's annual, I don't know whether it was the same time of the year that you got this dream, but this means that you're not getting something and your higher self is trying to communicate with you. If you become more spiritual and become more, which is the point of being on the earth plane anyway, if you do that, now you're starting to get it. And if you get it, your dream now opens up just like the house becomes lit. And just because now you become more aware and enlightened, if you will, that's what you're doing in your life right now with the spiritual acclimation that you're making. So basically what you're doing is... you got it, as they used to say.
All right, very good. I have an annual nightmare, Doctor. It occurs right around April 15th every year.
You and Leona Helmsley have the same nightmare.
On the wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg.
Hi, how you doing? This is Mark in California.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, he gave his explanation of God. What's his explanation of the devil?
All right.
Well, the devil really, you know, we don't really have any evidence of a devil other than certain reports and things of theological nature. Basically, what the devil could represent is the negative thoughts people have when they read too many newspaper articles that are negative, or when they watch the 11 o'clock news too many times, or just listen to the naysayers that say the world's going to end and the sky's going to fall and all that kind of stuff. The devil really doesn't exist. The God concept does exist as perfect energy, but I'm not a believer in the demonic aspects or the devil. I've never seen it. Even the attached entities that I work with my patients, who've, you know, not been very nice to them, but they haven't made them split pea soup, and they haven't taken their soul away, and they haven't put them into some dungeon of hell for eternity. I have not seen any evidence of that. So to me, the devil is just in your mind, if you allow it to be, or if you have to watch old Flip Wilson TV shows, you know.
All right. What about talk radio, Doctor? Now, you didn't mention that, but I'll mention it. Mm-hmm. Talk radio concentrates mainly on the negative, mm-hmm. because we concentrate on the news. And if you read the news is mainly negative. And we talk about these things.
Right. Well, then
is it demonic? Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's demonic. I don't think the news is trying to say take your firstborn and slit its throat, you know, things like that. But don't forget, the people who write the news, if you reported the news, or not you, meaning specifically personally you, but if the news was presented with a more, shall we say, equal time of positivity to negativity, then I think that would affect a lot of people. There was a recent psychological study that showed that people who did not read the paper and watch the 11 o'clock news
are better off.
Had about 35% improvements in their erotic level.
I believe it. Well, unfortunately, positive things really are not news. With rare exceptions, positive things are not news.
Well, basically, nobody wants to read about how somebody had a good day or somebody didn't kill themselves on the way home from work.
That's right. So then we crave the negative.
Right, but then again, see, I guess what I'm saying is that we do crave the negative, and that, of course, represents television ratings and newspaper sales and things like that. But you see, I think it's because society has been programmed for negativity. You see, society, by definition, has literally not empowered people but made them codependent. That's the big evil word here. And the codependency, when people need, like, why do people need to go to a therapist every week? They don't. Why do they have to go to a chiropractor to get their back straightened out every week? They don't. Why do they have to have Coca-Cola or coffee every day or cocaine or other, any other drug they're using? They don't. But if they're convinced that they do and they become codependent, then that codependency marries itself to things like negative news
items. Fine, but the question is, which drives which? I could do a one-hour program weekly on nothing but good news.
Mm-hmm.
It would have, according to the ratings, about two listeners. So, in other words, we don't do things like that. We do, the media does, what people want.
Well, but don't forget, right now we're doing a talk show. This is Dreamland. The topic and the theme for the show tonight has been very, I think, uplifting. This hasn't been a negative. This hasn't been a gloom and doom show. If anything,
I agree.
I'm representing the opposite of the scallions and the other predictors. I'm representing the opposite here by saying that I will stake my reputation. I've said on national TV and radio before that you're not going to have these gloom and doom predictions that people are starting to brainwash the public with.
Well, now, yeah, but I mean, what do you have to lose? If L.A. is obliterated, you're off the hook anyway.
Number one, my reputation, but also I also have to lose the credibility of the field, as well as a home and a couple of dogs and myself.
Oh, of course. Oh, I understand. All right.
But what I'm saying is that the my point here is that here you've done 3 hours of a show that's been, if anything, uplifting. And, of course, maybe you can't do this on your overnight show every week or every night, every weekday night, but my point is that I think that if the public, just like if you market something in a certain way, you could literally change the public's taste by marketing things in a certain way. I think if the media was presented in a little bit different capacity, rather than my cup is half empty or not even a drop in there, I think people would be a lot happier. And I think that it may take a while, just like it takes a while for certain networks to beat their competition in the ratings and become the number one network after a while. But then again, in the 70s, who ever thought that ABC would be the number one network in the mid-70s? You know, I mean, things can happen.
All right, things happen. That's right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Yes, Dr. Goldberg.
Yes, hello.
Yes, my name is Todd, and I'm calling from Mansfield, Ohio.
Okay.
And in talking about dreams, there was one, though, that had occurred to me, though, as a matter of fact, just this past January, though, and I've been trying to get it figured out, though, for some time. And what it is, it's not just, you know, bits and pieces, though. To me, though, it seemed as though it was just the continuing story.
Well, is this a repeated story or a segment after a segment after a segment here?
Well, actually, let me go into it, though, with you. Basically, what it is all I can say, though, is it was started out with my watching a musical group perform live, though, that I knew from back in the late 60s.
All right.
And then it shifts to where they have finished performing, though, and one of the members comes down, and just by coincidence, I remember this person dying a few years ago anyway, or quite a few years ago.
Did they die in the dream?
No.
Okay.
But what happened was they, you know, they come down and sit near where I'm sitting, though, and we get into a conversation, and I talk with this woman, though, and I ask her if she, you know, I say, well, didn't you die, though? And she says, no, I haven't died, though. I've just been out of the spotlight for some time.
All right. Well, this person is obviously trying to communicate with you, all right? Is there some sort of message that she's trying to impart upon you other than the fact that she's not dead?
Well, I don't know, because the thing of it is I've never even met this person, though. That's the
you haven't met this person?
No, I've never met this person. And then
how do you know she died, then?
Huh?
How do you know she's dead, then?
Because of news reports and that, though. I mean, from what I understand, she died back in the 70s.
Oh, this is a famous person, though, or a person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I follow you. All right. Well, this person apparently is trying to communicate with you. Why, I don't know yet, but is there some sort of an ending to this where something has happened recently that has changed this or completed this dream?
Well, the only thing I know is that something compelled me later that day to have played on a local radio station that is nearby where I live, though, to a song, though, that was by this group.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, though, but something just compelled me to...
Well, this is like a medium of communication. Okay. Apparently, I think what you're having here is a little bit different than your usual dream. I think this person is actually quite possibly trying to communicate with you. What I can suggest, there is an out-of-body experience tape that if you call my 1-800-527-6248 number...
Slower.
Okay, 1-800-527-6248. If you call that number, I'll send you information about both my books, Past Lives, Future Lives, and The Search for Grace. But also, there's an out-of-body experience tape which will help you not only to facilitate your own out-of-body experiences, but this, along with the superconscious mind tape, can help you to access and to communicate on a two-way level with this probably departed spirit. I mean, this is a woman who actually clinically died a few years ago, or back in the 70s, I think you said, that you can actually communicate. I think this has got a lot of positivity for you here. I don't want you to be afraid of this at all.
All right, look, we're about out of time. Let me just ask you this.
Sure.
Bruce, what's next? What are you going to do? You're going to write another book, more television, another movie?
I'm actually developing a television series right now.
A series?
Yeah, a reality show based on this work. And I'll be doing more lectures, and I'll be continuing with my patients and doing more television radio interviews and writing more scientific articles, as well as I don't have plans for another book right now. My new book just came out, The Search for Grace, just came out in October, actually. But I will definitely keep you posted about what I do, as you know. And I keep on, you might say, business as usual, except on a higher spiritual level.
And be assured, we will have you back on Dreamland again.
I always love reincarnating with you, Art.
Doctor, thank you.
My pleasure.
Take care, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And indeed, it was a pleasure to have him on Dreamland this evening. All right, we're out of time. I'm sorry, that's it. We are controlled by the clock. I do want to say this. If you're trying to get the scallion tape, which a trillion people are trying to do, and you can't get through tonight, call beginning tomorrow during normal business hours, 1-800-917-4278. On behalf of everybody, and there are many, who make Dreamland possible, I'm Art Bell. Thank you. Good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.
Dr. Adele. Aging Dr.